Beloved congregation, again this morning we will be considering the doctrine of holy baptism. We'll be doing that from Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, and from Lord's Day 27, from the Heidelberg Catechism. First then, Acts 2, verse 38 and 39, this is God's word. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And then Lord's Day 27, it's on page 56 in the back of your Psalter if you want to read along. Question 72 to 74. Question 72. Is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Not at all, for the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Question 73. Why then does the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? The answer, God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign he may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. Question 74. Are infants also to be baptized? Yes, for since they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and church of God, and since redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith, is promised to them no less than to the adult, they must therefore by baptism, as a sign of the covenant, be also admitted into the Christian church and be distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the Old Covenant or Testament by circumcision, instead of which baptism is instituted in the New Covenant. The help of the Lord, then, this morning, we want to consider this theme, the doctrine of holy baptism defended. First of all, defended against overestimation, then defended against underestimation, and finally, that doctrine defended against rejection. So first, the doctrine of holy baptism defended against overestimation. Is the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? That's the question we need to answer. And you may wonder, where do we get such a question? Where does that come from? Well, remember, this is in the time of the Reformation. People are coming out of the Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Catholic Church taught that water baptism washes away original sin, or any sin that has been committed. So when a baby is born, as soon as possible, it needs to be baptized. Because if it dies unbaptized, it would be lost. If it looks like a baby could die, then anybody baptizes that baby very quickly, just in case. So that's part of the reason for this question. Another reason is from Luther's teaching. Yes, the great reformer Luther. He said that grace is joined to this sacrament. Baptism, he said, is the ship that carries us to the grace of God, quoting Luther. And also, to this very day, this is a very relevant question, because even in some Reformed churches today, the teaching is that if a child is baptized, we must resume that child to be regenerated, unless sometime in their life later on they show otherwise. So we are not to preach to our children, "You must be born again." We mustn't tell our children, "Repent and believe the gospel and you shall be saved." No, what they say, you must tell your children, "Believe that you are saved." Tell the congregation, "Believe that you are saved because you are baptized." Now all these teachings, the Roman Catholic one, the Luther one, this strange Reformed one, substitute baptism for the blood of Christ only. Can always test. When we don't need the blood of Christ anymore, then we overestimate baptism. So the answer to this question is the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? It is absolutely not the washing away of sins. Let me quote to you from John the Baptist to Matthew chapter 3. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, he said, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So water baptism does not wash away sins. What does wash away sins then? The blood of Christ only, and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sin. John writes in 1 John 1 verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Christians are washed from their sins in only one way, and that is the Holy Spirit applying the blood of Christ to their souls. That's the only way. Let me read to you from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Keeping in mind that the Corinthian church was, these people came out of such sinful backgrounds. And he says to them, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he adds this, and such were some of you. Those are the lifestyles these people lived when they came to Christ, before they came to Christ. Such were some of you. But, he says, you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You are washed. What, by the water of baptism? No. You're sanctified by the waters of baptism? No. You're justified by the waters of baptism? No, but in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So John writes, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Paul writes, we are washed and sanctified by the Spirit of our God. So the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Without that, there is no washing away of sin. So, dear congregations, let us never overestimate water baptism. The water of baptism does not even wipe away from you even one sin. Only the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sin. So we conclude, we must not overestimate baptism, but we must also not underestimate baptism. It's our second thought. Holy baptism defended against underestimation. This is question 73. Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? He's quoting there from Titus chapter 3, verse 5. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's an allusion, that washing to an allusion to baptism and renewing of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 22, Paul says that Ananias came to him and said to him, Brother Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, when you read that, you would almost begin to think that baptism is the washing of regeneration. And that baptism is the washing away of our sins. And maybe the Roman Catholic Church and Luther were right after all. But remember, our catechism is a confession of faith. And it is a believer speaking. And he says, God speaks this way with great cause. God has excellent reasons for speaking this way in his word. And the first reason is that God has something to teach us. Baptism is a teaching tool in the hands of God. And the Holy Spirit, beloved, is a teacher like none other. Children, you know that at school, sometimes your teacher will bring out pictures so that you understand things more clearly. Well, the Holy Spirit uses the picture of baptism. And we can see what is happening. And it is to teach us something. And what is it meant to teach us? That just as the filth of the body is washed away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ. So just like the dirt of your body is cleansed by water. Think about this. Maybe yesterday, on a Saturday, you were helping your dad out in the yard and it was time to come in for supper and your hands were dirty. And your mom said, go wash your hands. Imagine if you would have just taken one hand and got somebody to scrub that one hand for you. Clean this hand. And then you compare it to the other hand. You would see the difference, wouldn't you? This one would be clean and this one would still be dirty. That's the picture. That's the picture that the Holy Spirit uses to teach us. Just like water washes dirt off your hands, so the blood of Christ washes sins out of your heart. You think about when we have baptism here with these beautiful little babies and their faces are clean. Their foreheads are clean. There's nothing there to wash. But see that the focus in baptism is not on how clean or how dirty that little baby is, but on what water does. Water cleans. Water washes. Water purifies. And the Holy Spirit teaches us by means of baptism that just as filth is purged away by water, so in exactly the same way, our sins are removed by the blood and the Spirit of Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit calls baptism the washing of regeneration, the washing away of sins, to teach us by means of the waters of baptism. And dear believers, when we witness baptism, and by faith we are seeing something, and we are learning something, and this is what we learn. Just like water washes away dirt, so the blood of Christ and the Spirit of God wash away our sins. Every time baptism happens, that's what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. Unto him that loved us, that is Jesus Christ, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You are washed, writes Paul, by the Spirit of our God. So that's the first reason why the Holy Spirit calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. But there's a second reason. And that is this. This is the main reason, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign, he may assure us. So the Holy Spirit is not only teaching us in baptism, but especially he is assuring us, or we could say reassuring us by baptism. And yes, children, the Lord's people need to be assured. We need this reassurance. Our faith needs to be strengthened and confirmed. And baptism here is called a divine pledge. That means a divine promise to pay and a sign. And the Holy Spirit uses the pledge and sign of baptism to reassure God's people. Of what? That we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. And maybe you think, well, you're saying it again. I am. Yes, I am. Because that's what the catechism does. It says it again. in just a little different words. And why is that? Well, dear believers, when we're honest with each other and with the Lord, then we have to say there are times that we struggle with this whole idea. And we think, am I really cleansed from all my sins? Is this really true? And then in baptism, the Holy Spirit comes to assure the Lord's people, yes, it is true. You are as really cleansed from your sins as you are externally washed with water. So when we believers by faith in action see and we remember our baptism, then we look beyond babies and we look beyond ministers and pretty little wedding gowns and we even look beyond water, and by faith we see the precious cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus. That's what baptism is all about. It's a means of grace to instruct and to reassure believers. So have you been, or are you still, underestimating baptism? That's a great danger among us too, you know. Especially among believers. When we had baptism here a few weeks ago, dear believers, did you and did I remember this? Just as surely as water washes away dirt from my body, just so sure my sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. That's what baptism is teaching and reassuring us. But I'm afraid, for myself too, that baptism is often done out of custom or superstition. But see, when it is done and viewed by faith, and the Holy Spirit is at work, He's teaching, He's reassuring, because baptism proclaims to us the covenant faithfulness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus Himself said it in Mark 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." And Paul writes in Galatians 3, "As many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." It's another way of saying you are in Christ. So no, dear congregation, we must be very careful not to overestimate baptism and to say, well, it washes away our sins, and also not to underestimate baptism as if to say it's just nothing. But we must also not reject holy baptism. That's our third thought, the doctrine of holy baptism defended against rejection. You say, who in the world would reject baptism? Why would anyone reject the doctrine of baptism? And we need to stress this morning that Scripture teaches adult believers' baptism. And also infant baptism teaches both. But it does not teach believers only baptism. See, those who hold to adult believers only baptism, that would be our Baptist brethren, they have only a part of the doctrine of baptism. We know what they say, right? We know what they teach. Only those who profess faith in Jesus Christ are to be baptized. And infants obviously can't profess faith in Christ Jesus, so they can't be baptized. So when you baptize an infant, they say, that's not really baptism. Even if the Bible says there's only one baptism. But when they require baptism for an adult believer who was already baptized as an infant, then they are rejecting the complete biblical doctrine of baptism. I'm not saying that they're completely rejecting the doctrine of baptism, but they are rejecting the complete doctrine of baptism, which is adult believers' baptism and their children's baptism. You say that infant baptism is not a holy sacrament and it is empty, you are rejecting the biblical doctrine of baptism. It grieves me sometimes when I hear our people here rejoicing when a child who was baptized as an infant joined another church and now got baptized, they say. And now it's real. As if that's real baptism and their infant baptism wasn't. That's just as real. That was real. Now, the Reformed faith also holds to adult believers' baptism. Yes, we do. We've done it here numerous times. We've baptized adults. So we are really the true Baptists. Those who are not baptized as infants and come to faith later in life and profess their faith in Christ Jesus are then baptized according to the Word of God and their children according to the Word of God. In all missionary endeavors, that's the order. First coming to faith and then baptism. And when those parents are baptized, then their children are too. Their whole household, says numerous times in the book of Acts. So those who practice adult believers only baptism have only half the doctrine of baptism. I have some very dear friends, dear brothers in Christ, who are Baptists, and I love them. And I think they still love me too. And we are going to disagree on this. But let us never overestimate, underestimate, or reject the doctrine of baptism. Who else would reject baptism? I'm afraid that there are people here this morning who reject the complete doctrine of baptism, who do so only out of custom or superstition, who never really give a first or even a second thought to what baptism is all about, whose children are baptized because, well, that's just what we do here. We're Reformed after all. And if we don't, then the district elder is going to come and ask him, what's going on? How come your child's not baptized? And our parents and grandparents will come and bother us. So our children are baptized for any other reason than the biblical reason. And I'm guilty of that. For the majority of my children, when they were baptized, that's me. Also among us, there are those who really reject the doctrine of baptism, who never ask, who never bother to study, what does the Bible really teach about this, about infant baptism? And what do we as parents and children really believe about baptism? And is what we believe biblical? And do our actions match what we claim to believe? Often there's such a disconnect between what we profess and what we say we believe and what we do. What is the Reformed doctrine of infant baptism then? Are infants also to be baptized? The answer is yes. And I believe that most, if not all of us here, would heartily agree. But when we ask each other why, why must infants be baptized? And many times we're at a loss to explain it. Yes, we say, yes, infants must be baptized. And we love it when there's a baptism service. And we say, praise God for his covenant faithfulness. But why? Why must they be baptized? And the Catechism, based on Scripture, gives us Two reasons. The first is because infants as well as the adult are included in the covenant and church of God. Our children, beloved, are included in the covenant of grace. We read it from Genesis 17, where God says to Abraham, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy offspring after thee. So God speaks not just to Abraham. It's not only a covenant with you, Abraham, but it's with your children and their children, an everlasting covenant. And it's still in effect today with believers and their offspring. The Lord has never forgotten his covenant. We forget many times that covenant to be a God unto you. In baptism, God comes and he says, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Have you ever replied to that? Have you ever replied and said, yes, Lord, be my God. Yes, Lord, let us be your people. In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said to the Jewish people there, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why would Peter say that? Well, he gives his reason right away. For, because the promise is unto you and to your children. And he's referring here to the promise of Genesis 17, verse 7. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He's talking to a crowd in Jerusalem, almost all Jews. And the covenant promise of the gospel, he says, is to you and to your children. The apostle Paul writes in Galatians 3, as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I've already quoted that, but Paul is speaking of what is signified by water baptism, to be baptized into Christ. Remember, baptism always points to the blood of Christ. And when we embrace by faith the gospel doctrine of baptism, then by faith we are Christ's. And the apostle Paul writes, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. That very same promise that Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2. That very same promise going all the way back to the covenant promise made to Abraham. Yes, our children are included in the covenant and in the church of God. Even if only one of that child's parents confesses faith in Christ. Doesn't even have to be both. That not only has an effect on your spouse, but also on your children. Listen to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. The unbelieving husband is sanctified by his believing wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by her believing husband. Otherwise, your children, writes Paul, would be unclean. But now, they are holy. They are sanctified. They are set apart, consecrated by God. If both parents are unbelievers, then the children would be unclean. But now, they are considered holy, set apart, included in the covenant, and included in the church of God. It's always been that way. It started in the Old Testament already, continues into the New. Listen to one example from the Old Testament. When they called the congregation together, Joel 2 verse 16, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babies. Everyone is included. in the church, in the congregation. Children are included in the church of God. Children are included in the covenant of God. That's so the first biblical reason for the principle of the baptism of believers' children is that children, as well as the adults, are included in the covenant and church of God. But there's a second reason, and we'll look at that after we sing. 425 verses 3, 4, and 5. Seek ye Jehovah and his power. So the first reason that infants are to be baptized is that infants as well as the adults are included in the covenant and church of God. The second reason is this. Redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit, the author of faith, is promised to children no less than to the adult. So that promise of redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit, the author of faith, is promised to children just as much, just as clearly, just as seriously as it is to the adults. Every Sunday, the gospel promise is proclaimed to the adults of the church and to the children too. And it's the same promise to the children as it is to the adults. Sometimes children think that sermons are not really for them. I think the minister's just talking to old people. Well, I hope that in most sermons you at least understand something of what's going on. I try to make it simple for you. This morning too, children of the congregation, the Lord has taken you and set you aside. And the Lord's promises come to you just like they do to your parents. One of the reasons you are baptized, children, is the Lord's promise is to you. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And in baptism, God's covenant promise is given to you in a very beautiful yet simple picture. Just like water washes dirt off your body, something you experience almost every day, so Christ's blood washes away sin from your soul. Children, you are included in the church. You are included in the covenant of God. God has special care for his covenant children. Even before you knew anything, God came to you in baptism. And he said in your baptism, "I will be your God. You shall be mine." And now every Sunday, his promise comes to you too. Redemption from sin. Forgiveness of your sins by the blood of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, the author of faith. Everything you need for salvation is promised to you. It's God's promise. The blood of my Son to cleanse you from your sin, and my Holy Spirit to work faith in you. And yes, parents, we are called to baptize your children because your children are included in the covenant and church of God. But also because redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit, the author of faith, are promised to them just as well as they are to you as parents and adults. And so there's this twofold result. They must therefore, by baptism, as a sign of the covenant, be also admitted into the Christian church. Sometimes we older people, we make the mistake. We see our children and we say, wow, there's the future of the church. That's wrong. There is the church. Children are just as much the church as adults are. As a sign of the covenant, they are admitted into the Christian church. Baptism is a sign of the covenant. Because you are born to believing parents, you are included in the covenant. And because you are included in the covenant, you are admitted to the Christian church. The way we have it in the form, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. Infants are to be baptized as members of his church. There's this close and intimate connection between covenant and church. Being included in God's covenant means being included in the Christian church. And this is for children who are conceived and born in sin and are subject to all miseries. Yes, to condemnation itself. And yet we say they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. And so by baptism, as a sign of the covenant, our children are admitted to the Christian church. And at the same time, they are distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, instead of which baptism is instituted in the new covenant. So our children are distinguished, set apart from the children of unbelievers. And yet, their baptism does not make them believers. Their baptism does not grant them grace. The Bible tells us that there are many baptized people now in hell. Baptism did not save them. Just like hearing sermons every Sunday doesn't save them. But it is only when you by faith plead on the promises of the gospel of baptism. Those promises that baptism teaches us, the washing away of sins. And when you plead on the blood and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are saved. Otherwise, with all the blessings you have received, including your baptism, then Jesus speaks in Matthew 8, verse 11 and 12, scary words. Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Children of the kingdom. Those are baptized people. Members of the church. Such people. Such blessed people. Having heard the gospel. Having partaken of the sacrament of baptism. And yet with all that cast out into outer darkness of eternal hell. Instead of rejoicing and singing and banqueting with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. They are weeping, cursing eternally in hell with the devil and his demons. And none of them will be able to say, I didn't know how to be saved. Yes, you did. Forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit was promised to you. But you refuse to believe the promise. You refuse to cleave to this God of baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you refuse to trust Him and to love Him and to forsake the world and to crucify your old nature and to walk in a new and holy life. That's our obligation with baptism. So no baptized person in hell will ever be able to say to God, I didn't know. I didn't know how to be saved. It wasn't promised to me. Oh, yes, it was. Promised to you. Baptism is a serious matter, isn't it? But you know, it's not too late for anyone here to turn to the Lord in repentance and faith. Today, He still calls to you. Return to the Lord your God and live. Come to me. I will give you rest. Trust me. Believe me. I promise you the forgiveness of sins. And I promise you my Holy Spirit. And in baptism, I teach you that my word is true. And I show it to you in picture form. That just as surely as your body is washed with water, just so sure it is, that my blood cleanses you from sin. Oh, unbelievers among us, will you not believe this God, this faithful, covenant-keeping God? Will you not flee to the cross of Jesus Christ, embracing the precious cleansing blood of Christ? There is no tomorrow. Today, hundreds of thousands of people will die. Happens every day. Will you be one of them? You don't know. There is no tomorrow. What we know with certainty is that the Lord will turn away no one who comes to Him. Whether you're an old sinner or a young sinner, His promise is true. His gospel promise, taught and assured in baptism. So let's be very, very careful with baptism. Let's not make the mistake of overestimating baptism. And also not the mistake of underestimating baptism. And for sure, not the mistake of rejecting our baptism. Because by rejecting our baptism, we reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, dear Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we hear the gospel of the doctrine of baptism. And Lord, it is such a rich gospel because it is grounded and rooted in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to believe. Help us to cling. Help us to embrace this precious gospel in Christ Jesus the Lord. Lord, we pray especially for our children. Lord, when they were little babies, you came, put your name on them. They belong to the Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray that they may all take it very seriously, and their parents too. Together, they may seek the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has promised, those who seek me early shall find me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Lord, we pray too for older ones among us who until now have rejected the gospel of their baptism, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, let this be the day of thy sovereign good pleasure and thy Holy Spirit's power in their lives. Bring them, O Lord, to the throne of grace, we pray. Be with us as we go to our catechism classes, Lord, there too. We pray for diligence for the teachers and for the students as they learn the precious doctrine of the Holy Word of God. Bless them all together, we pray, and be with the sermon discussion. Grant there too. We may together stand amazed at the grace of God in Christ Jesus, portrayed in baptism. Help us, O Lord, keep us safe also later on the way home, and bring us back again this afternoon, keeping us from sin and iniquity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.